Hello, this is Jeff Wine with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Key Realty. If you are considering a move to or within the Blue Water area, please reach out to discuss your housing needs. Call 810-650-6255. Again, that is 810-650-6255. Thank you.
The new 105.5 WPHM at the Mackinac Policy Conference at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. We're joined right now by the Director of the Michigan State Police Force, Colonel James Grady. Colonel, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Appreciate you joining us. How's the conference going for you?
Conference been great. Beautiful weather. Great to interact with people, talk about partnerships, talk about how we collaborate in keeping the state of Michigan safe.
In every space, including places of worship, which used to be considered safe spaces, not so much anymore. Witness the attack at Temple Israel in West Bloomfield just in March. You're working to keep those places safer, though. You're working with those churches, aren't you?
Absolutely. Between ourselves, the churches, the collaboration with our local partners, along with our federal partners, that's something that we want to make sure that we keep our focus on, mm-hmm. right? You got to think, it hasn't even been quite a year, and we've actually had four incidents take place in Michigan. The first one started in Wayne, and then we had the Grand Blanc incident, then the Temple of Israel, and here most recently another incident in Royal Oak Township, in Ferndale. So these are things that we want to provide the education for our places of worship leadership so that we can work together and keeping those arenas safe for everybody as they go and practice their religions.
You're also holding some youth violence prevention summits. Tell us more about that.
Great topic, right? When you start talking about the shootings that are taking place between teens. You know, last year I told my staff, who've done a great job, Office of School Safety, our OK to Say members here in the Michigan State Police that work under our Grants and Community Services Division, along with our CSTs, our Community Service Troopers, have been instrumental, have helped pushing that along, right, to get into different areas of the state, to have those conversations, to give the youth a seat at the table. So they, too, understand that they are a part of the community, and they can help us with these concerns as well. They're dealing with it every day. When you think about it, Paul, years ago, we had the tornado drills. We had fire drills. We had those drills in school. What we didn't have was active shooter drills.
Right.
But we do now, right? So we have to let the youth know that we're here to listen to them. They might actually have a better solution or a way to address some of these things. So you have to give them a seat at the table and listen to what they have to say and make them know that they, too, have a role and responsibility in keeping their schools, keeping their community safe.
I know when we first started seeing community resource officers in school buildings, we thought, oh, my gosh, it's come to this. We have to have police in school. But it really does help, doesn't it?
It does. What it does is it gives us an opportunity to create the relationships. Not only to create them, but to sustain them, right? To keep them in place consistently and to let the youth know that we are there to help them. We can help them work through intervention, right, if they're having a problem. There are solutions, and there are much better solutions, as we know, when you start talking about violence. That's not where you want to go, because once you commit to hurting somebody or killing them, it's difficult to come back from that. So we want to prevent those type of actions from happening in our educational field.
How's your recruitment effort going? Are you finding enough people to become state troopers?
Yes, we are. I mean, we just graduated 61 troopers and a motor carrier officer last week. Mm-hmm. Always exciting to see new troops, new motor carrier officers hit the field to get out and provide that protection and service that the people in the great state of Michigan expect. We're running another school here in July. That will be over 100 recruits. We're also going to have a lateral entry school and another motor carrier school. And we're already recruiting for January schools for next year as well. So we're keeping recruiting moving along. We are having some success here in the Michigan State Police. When I start talking about 80, 90, 100 recruits to start, I can tell you across the country, a lot of other police agencies aren't seeing that type of success.
Well, Colonel, what is the career path? How does somebody become a state police trooper?
Well, 21 years of age is our age limit to start. We don't have an age limit as far as above that, so you could be 50 years old and still become a state police recruit. We've had it happen,
yeah.
Right? Be ready. Physically, mm-hmm. That's tough. It's tougher to recover as you get older, but we've had people successfully do it. And it's great training, top notch. Of course, I'm a little biased because I've been here for almost 28 years. But we do, you know, almost double the amount of what's expected through MCOLs. We, you're on site. We pay you while you're in recruit school. We'll feed you while you're in recruit school. And we really do truly invest in our recruits because we want them to be the best and have the best basic training that you can get to become a state trooper.
Technology has changed police work a lot, hasn't it?
It has, right? When I started many years ago, we were handwriting everything. Now they have technological devices, including cell phones and computers and vehicles. Before you know it, yes, there will be an AI component as well. Now, it will not take over everything, right? You still need the human element. It might help you draft a report, but you still have to go and review it, make sure that everything is correct and things like that. But those are things right now that we are actually looking at in the MSP, and we are preparing ourselves to pilot technology like that here in the very near future.
Tell me about the robot dogs.
I've
heard about this video that's circulating with the robot dogs.
Well, I'll tell you, we're always, again, looking for different tools and resources to help us be more effective and efficient, do our job successfully, and keeping not only our citizens or residents in here in Michigan safe, but also to keep our members safe. Mm-hmm. Yes, we received a robot dog. We got it through grant funding. You know, it came through a UIC grant. It will be working hand-in-hand with our bomb squad from the MSP. It can do some things that a actual physical dog, a canine, would not be able to do. It's operated and controlled by our bomb squad personnel here within the department. And we're looking forward to using, again, it's another tool or resource to help us do our job. There are other police law enforcement agencies that already have this tool or resource, and it's helping them. So we're always looking for other ways for us to do our jobs effectively, efficiently, and more importantly, safely.
You don't have to walk it? Don't have to feed it?
You don't, right? It'll save some money that way. I mean, there's still maintenance and things when you have... We like to say in the MSP, it has to be trooper-proof. you know, I'll tell you again, it's another great tool or resource we can use. In addition to, I just got to say it, the members of the MSP are just great. Great people, our civilian professionals, our enlisted personnel, just doing a rock-solid job every day in meeting our mission, which is excellent public safety services across this state.
There you go. Colonel James Grady, Director of the Michigan State Police, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
At the Mackinac Policy Conference on the new 105.5 WPHM.